As the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic continues to impact every aspect of our nation, of our state, and even our economy, it is also driving home the importance of childcare, in particular here in Idaho. Now, while the Idaho State Board of Education closed all schools until at least April 20th, the choice to keep childcare programs open across the Gem State, that has been discretionary, and it is causing some real concerns and some real problems for families. Joining us live today to talk more about this is Beth Oppenheimer. She is the Executive Director for the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children. Beth, good to talk to you.
Thank you, Gemma.
Okay, so first, Beth, let's talk about the critical need to have available childcare right now. I mean, in particular for, you know, for our medical personnel.
Sure. Well, childcare is one of those industries that is essential, just like our healthcare workers, just like keeping our grocery stores open, et cetera. And so, you know, the governor did come out and say that childcare is included in the essential worker category. And that is so that parents who are working in some of the other essential working industries have childcare so that they can go to work. You know, our healthcare providers certainly need childcare, grocery store, and other major industries. So childcare is right up there.
However, more than 120 childcare programs have had to close their doors since the pandemic started. And this is what displaced upwards of 4,000 children. And I'm talking just here in Idaho.
So that was the number about a week ago, or maybe a few days ago.
Right.
The number as of this morning, it keeps growing. And the number as of this morning was about 206 childcare programs have closed their doors at this point temporarily. And that is impacting over about 6,600 children throughout Idaho. The reason for closing, it varies. A lot of them are closing for preventative measures. They want to make sure that they themselves are keeping themselves safe, as well as the children in their care. And some of them are closing because their enrollment is so low. So we're in this really interesting, complicated scenario where we need childcare for essential workers, but some of the programs, the enrollment is so low, they literally cannot financially keep their doors open and continue to pay their staff without that revenue coming in.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that, because even though, you know, schools have been band-aided to close, I mean, we already know that there is federal money coming to Idaho. Mm-hmm. We also know that the state is trying to help. Childcare facilities are, you know, not in that equation. So how do we figure this out? Because a lot of childcare facilities, they do not have the financial backing to be able to get through something like this.
Absolutely. You know, most of our childcare programs, the industry in and of itself, and you know, you and I have talked before about this, Gemma, it's a pretty broken system in that childcare is an expensive industry to run, but the funding that comes into it is very low. And so they don't have, most of our programs do not have reserves on hand to get through situations like this. So without significant public and private supports, a lot of them that are closing their doors, it'll be interesting to see if they even open back up. You did mention some federal funding. There is some federal funding that will be coming to Idaho. We're still trying to navigate what that looks like for childcare. There was one of our national partners, CLASP, they projected that Idaho would get around $20 million to help with the childcare industry. That is not a confirmed number. That was just a projection. And we don't really have any state dollars that are going into childcare. Most of the dollars that are funding childcare are federal dollars in and of themselves. The state does have some flexibility in how we utilize those funds. And we're working very closely with the state, who's trying to also navigate how do we determine the flexibility in terms of supporting those programs that are currently open and need some additional revenue just to keep those doors open to serve our essential workers. But also, how do we support those programs who have chosen to close because of various situations, and how do we fund those so that they, when this is over, we need those programs to open up again. You and I had a conversation a couple weeks ago about the report that came out from the U.S. Chamber Foundation and the lack of affordable quality childcare in good times, right? In good times is pretty dire. And so with all of these closures and if these programs can't open back up because they don't have the reserves to keep them going, we are really going to be in terrible shape.
Well, and Beth, I mean, just from a personal note, I mean, this is conversations that, you know, that my husband and I have even had, is that how thankful we are that our children are old enough during this that, you know, my sixth grader, he's doing his online learning. He's doing his live class sessions. We set an alarm on his phone, right? This is how he figures things out, right? Like you're swimming on your own, kid. And our second grader, I mean, we do have to navigate some with him, but to have a small child who still needs to be in some type of, you know, pre-K or daycare setting, it's not only would I feel even more frantic, it's do I send them if they're open during this, right?
Well, and that's the struggle that a lot of families are grappling with. And it just adds to the complexity of this issue because, you know, while there are, you know, the CDC and the health districts and everything say that children are very low risk, they also can be considered carriers for this. Mm-hmm. And so if they're in an environment outside of the home and can be carriers, that can impact our childcare teachers. It can impact other family members. And so it really is complex, but some families just don't have any other option. And that is why we, you know, there are states throughout the country. I want to say last time I checked, there were 12 states throughout the country who have mandated closure of childcare as well. And I'm thankful that the governor has not gone in that direction and kept childcare open for our essential workers. But even that is a really tough balance.
So if these childcare facilities in Idaho that haven't already closed cannot continue operating after COVID-19, what does that look like for our state?
Gemma, that is the question of the day. We're going to be in a world of hurt. Like I said, in good times, we already have a shortage of affordable quality childcare throughout Idaho. Our state is already losing on a good day $479 million annually due to the lack of affordable quality childcare. If a lot of these programs cannot open, that number is going to increase dramatically. So what we're doing at Idaho AYC is we're following closely what other states are doing in terms of being super creative and in terms of thinking outside of the box a little bit and being visionary. And how do we support the programs that have closed? At the same time, how do we support the programs that are remaining open to serve our essential workers? And, you know, like I said, none of this is going to happen if we do not have significant funding and either private or public funding to help support this. We are working with a couple funders right now to help to see how we can support the industry during this really critical time. And we're also waiting to see what the federal funding will look like to help kind of salvage some of these programs.
And you've been in contact with Governor Little, correct? I mean, so where is that, and what is your organization hoping that he would potentially do?
So we have made recommendations to the governor and his staff in regards to some of the things that that they can do to help support this industry. A lot of the recommendations the Department of Health and Welfare has already put into place, so we were thankful to see that. We've been working closely with them. But you know, one of the things that we need to be thinking about is those childcare providers who are working now. We're recommending some sort of, and I hate to use the word hazard pay, but I'm going to use that anyway. Also, how do we provide more funding from our existing federal dollars that can help sort of supplement some of the lost revenue that they're seeing due to low enrollment. You know, the governor did say, like I said, that childcare is an essential industry at this time. And so he is listening, and I know that it's one of his priorities, and mm-hmm. we'll continue to provide recommendations to the governor's staff and the Department of Health and Welfare. We're working really closely with the health and welfare right now to sort of navigate some of this. And we're just going to continue to do that and hope that we can, this industry will survive after this all pans out.
And, you know, that is, I think, the critical piece of this right now, Beth, is that when things do start to get back to some sense of normal, that we don't forget about this industry because it is critical to our state. So thank you for talking. Thank you for bringing it to our attention in the midst of everything else that we are all holding, right? One more thing that we need to keep, top of mind. So thank you so much.
One more thing. All right. Thank you so much, Gemma. I appreciate it.
Always. We were talking with Beth Oppenheimer, Executive Director for the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children. Up next, we're going to switch things up a little bit because you know what? We're all stuck at home, right? And maybe you're looking for a good movie, a good TV show. Our George Prentice is going to join us and give us some recommendations. Stick around.